Accession number 18045, Reel 4.
What sort of formation did you do, depending on the number of G's, what sort of formation
was it? Yeah, well, it's just arrowhead, one, two, three, so.
Right.
And that's all you operated in threes on these jobs, you know.
Going back to the, we began to talk about the big cheap grade.
Oh, the Fuka thing, yes. Yeah. Yeah, well, as I say, there was a series of operations that went on around about Fuka. Then David Stirling said, right, we're going to drive, and they practiced. Too early on, in the early days, when David Stirling, I don't know if you want you to ask him this, asked one of our sergeants to go out and shoot a man. This is back at base. He asked Jimmy Bruff, and Jimmy Bruff sort of ummed and ahed, and Bob Tate, who the man who designed the cat badge, shot for, and he said, I'll do it. And they took this German Jew and put him on a wagon at Cabret, drove him down the road, and there was a Wog cinema, open air cinema, and all the Navy, there was a naval camp next door to the SS camp, and all the naval chaps were coming out of the cinema, and Bob Tate shoved this chap off of the vehicle and shot him. And of course all the old mat knows wondering what day it was, you know. And that was tied up with he'd blown information about a job that Lord Jellicoe had done in Crete. But I'd like you to find out on that for me, because I'm not certain. I remember the chap being done, and of course it was no good charging the man. They knew it, but there was no proof, you see. So he had a lovely finish down outside the cinema.
Special imagination.
Yeah, but it's the only way, isn't it, now? It's the only way today. If you get violence, you meet it with violence. This is my estimation, Gordon. If you get violent people, and yet you see the most unviolent people are the SAS.
Yes,
you don't meet violent people, eh?
No,
but they'll be violent if it's needed, you know. This is the, it's always been my swan song, that.
We went out to, what was it, when we went with Bossman to have a meal from the Special Forces Club. Was it George Cannon?
Oh, Jack Cunningham.
Jack Cunningham. It was getting a bit late, not when he came out, and he lived quite away from London. He's not afraid. He was at the reunion, I don't know if you saw him. He was sitting at the desk, standing a lot with the SBS crowd where I was. And Bob and I said, well, you know, where you've got to go to, you've got to go on by underground. He said, can it be okay, you know, with all this mugging that goes on there? Oh, yeah, he said. I said, well, you've got to, he had a rolled umbrella. He said, I don't need that. He said, I had one a little few months back, he said. He'd come up to me, and he's not very big.
He's only about 5'4".
He's got over me, he said, I'll give him the head. Right, and he said, yes, get right. I said, you're all right,
John, he's only a little, used to him, he's a boy, isn't he?
I think Gordon must have seen him,
He's been out on the oil business at the Middle East, Jock.
Come back, loaded with money. You know, you sort of notice him for that. Very fresh faced. And we was a bit worried, I said to Ben, we was kind of going, oh, it's out on these undergrounds, even if you're bred and born in
London. Oh, he's right, Glasgow.
And
he's a head man.
He said, I'll be all right. He said, I said, well, watch some of these. He said, I had one a few months back. He said, I gave him the head. He said, spit right down there. He said, he didn't mind me no more.
I bet he didn't.
To look at him, you wouldn't believe it. You know, you think he looked so sort of innocent looking, didn't he? I always remember that. I thought, so, God, I hope he's all right going home on him. Because he was somewhere on the, was it, London, Kent borders, that sort of
thing. He's
hard, yeah, you wouldn't believe it to look at him now, would you? He's a great character, actually.
In one of the books, in the Strawson book, he talked also about, and you mentioned it yourself earlier a bit, the some of the operations to try to relieve the air pressure on Malta.
Oh yes, well that was when I was telling you about when I went with Paddy and Jock Byrne, the chap I told you who's written the book, and Johnny Rose, four of us, and that was what we went for. We went to Burka Airfield, which is just safe west of Benghazi, mm-hmm. and that was the intention, to get the bombing planes to stop them bombing the Malta. Mm. And we got 15 bombers we got on there. And Jock finished up in the bag. You must read his book. It's great, isn't it, Mel?
Yeah.
He went days and days, and he did a march longer than Jack Salito's.
It mesmerised.
And finished up bloody captured. It's terrific, his book, isn't it?
Mm.
And so Paddy and myself got back to the escarpment, and Johnny Rose had been gone off with Jock Byrne. Jock had been captured. Johnny Rose made it back, you know, back to the thing. And the only reason we got linked up with the LRTG was one of them came down looking for a chicken or something from the Bedouins, you know, and we were picked up.
It's a good book, that,
though. But he's written a lovely book, he really has.
It's funny, honestly, and Dan Barber up tells me, he was saying what he'd done it when he first started walking, and I was thinking to myself, and I read quite a lot of it, it's a book, you know, and I thought to myself, that's right, funny, Ben always says, never march by day. And I got towards the end of the book, because I thought, well, he was an SAS man. Why did he do that? Because of all the hundreds of miles he'd gone, the Germans were watching him all the time.
Not all the time.
Nearly all the time.
No, the last part. Yeah.
And he said in the book, when I read it to you, so I know.
No, last part.
And he said at the end, towards the end of the book, he said, I realised one mistake by the Germans watching. I shouldn't have travelled by day, I should travel by night. And I thought, well, that's it. This is what I've been saying in my brain all the way through. Now, by the way, Ben talks, you know.
No, you never move.
And he said, that was one of the mistakes you made. And I said to Ben, I was reading it. He says about how he walked by day and the heat of the sun and what have you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then sleeping at night. And I thought, well, Ben's always, but it's the opposite way around.
But
know?
The reading of that is terrific, isn't it?
Actually, I got to the end of one part where he'd actually really, you know, all the way through what he'd done. And he went aboard this, it was a cargo ship, wasn't it? And as he came out, you know, and it was a friend, what was it? Nationality, which was
Swedish,
so they were, what's the word you use?
Neutral.
And I was there with him, and you know, I really cried. I had tears. I thought, oh, what a relief. And they said he'd been in this bunker, and it was a cold place, you know. And then when they opened the door, I said he could come out. And it said that he had, like, white lines where the tears had gone down the face, on his face, but smothered in black, you know. And they've got a big tub for him. And I thought, oh, at last, he's made it. It really was great. I thought it was a marvellous book. I couldn't put it down. I kept saying, Ben, let me read you this chapter. He kept saying to me, come on, you finish now, so I've got to get to the end of this chapter, please. You read it, Gordon.
Did he go back to the regiment after that?
No, he came, he got back to England, and he did this parade in Trafalgar Square. They selected him, had a ball lot to... And this general said, now meet the chap who was in charge of all the defence of London. He said, now meet a real soldier. Right. And they brought John Byrne. And he went back to commandos, wounded four times. Then he finished up getting shot in the stomach in Malaya, in the police. But he's terrific.
Oh, he said the crowd there, like when he came out, you know, he said, I felt as I was a nothing. And they stamped and they cheered, and you know, it's a terrific thing in Trafalgar Square.
I wonder if that's on film anywhere. I'm sure it is, you know, it's the sort of thing they'd record.
We've never heard of it.
More than likely. Yeah. They might record it that in the war, you see.
Because he never expected it. He was in sort of lying in the back by the gent, you know.
But
and it was.
David was so impressed with that book, because I phoned him up and told him, and he said, well, I've read some books, but that's terrific.
Well, we couldn't buy it. We tried everywhere, didn't we? Every bookshop went to
school. We got it from the library.
Eventually, we got it from the library. We ordered it, you know. It doesn't seem to be on sale in the South at all. We tried enough bookshops, didn't we?
I asked about it. Is it Dave Henshaw who does down it?
Kershaw. Dave Kershaw. Yeah. Lives down at Hamble, Southampton.
Should I be seeing him at all?
Oh, Dave's a good boy, yeah, because Dave went from first to form the second.
Uh-huh.
So he went up to Phillipville.
Right.
Right old Liverpudlian, rough as a diamond, left winger, but one of the greatest people you can meet, you know. But he's Dave was Grenadiers, the same as me. He was my corporal when I joined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was my... Dave had been in it.
He'd been quite old then.
Yeah, well, he'd been in the Spanish Civil War. He's pretty rough now. But he's the hardest man you ever met.
Why did you go back into Paris after SAS?
Well, what happened, it's a tragedy, that was, because when we were back in England, we were up in Scotland at a place called Darvill, and Dave was a sergeant major, and the RSM we had then was a chap named Johnny Rose, who was another grenadier, and Johnny Rose had gone round the bend a little bit, and he was sort of a terrible thing, really. He was sort of gunning for people that had been in at the start, you know. For what reason, I don't know. But he was gunning for me. He was gunning for Dave Kershaw. And Dave did what we always used to do. He took a truck out with some officers and they went to a pub. And Paddy Mayne had gone to America, flown to America for some reason, who was a colonel, and left a chap named Harry Pote, the second in command in charge. And Johnny Rose put him on a charge. And as RSM, he went to the second in command and said, get rid of him. And they shot Dave out, you see, out of the... And he went back to Para, where he lost a leg. And he, one of the best soldiers ever, soldier with Dave. And when I went across to Paddy Mayne and spent a fortnight with him, he said, my biggest regret was that poor old Dave was seen off when I wasn't there, you know. Because what a man it... What a man, Dave Barney was.
Oh, what he's been through.
What an incredible.
Probably the toughest.
He's had hearts, he's had everything early in the years. Lost a leg, and he's still as tough as they can. But he can hardly breathe now. And when we have our original reunion, he sits with David, and he's politics. And he's all the left wing stuff. And old Dave's doing it himself, and old Pat comes in and sort of pat the old. First Sergeant Major business comes in and call it, we're all right. And old Dave stood and said, no, we love this. He said, we love talking about it. He's still as hard.
There's a lot of him.
And at the last party we had, the last reunion, you know, I give a song, I always do sing the old Lily Marley stuff. And come on, Dave, I said it's your... And there's old Dave, you need a picture.
That's
the man's dying, you know, but he's still... Yeah. He's as tough as they come. Great, but man.
I think he must go through pain all this lot. I mean, yeah. Since in the last few years...
He's got to be in pain.
He's had a hernia, he's had eye trouble, he's had a...
Heart
bypasses, the one leg. It's absolutely amazing. And they come to the phone... And every other 2 words, and the old doctor says, pack up the smoke. He's still smoking. He's over 70 now, isn't he, Benny?
He's well over 70.
Well over 70.
Yeah, go and see him. He's good. He's very good, man.
Going back to North Africa. So after a period, 2 SAS was formed under Bill Sterling at Phillipville.
At Phillipville, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they sent up from first SAS, they sent MacDonald, who you see in all the film, all those pictures, and man in the Jeep, that's MacDonald.
Is he alive or is he?
I think he is, but he sort of, between you and me, nobody got really on with MacDonald. But MacDonald was sent up, who'd been commissioned, he sent up, Dave Kershaw and Bob Tate were sent to the second to train them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So where were we going from there, Gordon?
What other operations or types of operations? And the next, should we be talking about in North Africa before the capture of David?
Everyone that you see in the Phantom Major. You know, if you can get hold of one of the people. Have you seen Reg Steakins?
Tony did. I've got to go up and see him myself.
Yeah, Reg is a good boy. One of the best. Reg will put you right on the... Because he was always with Sterling, always with Paddy most of the time. Reg will put you right on the ones that David Sterling did. But the funny thing was that all the operations, the big success ones, were Paddy's. And David, as much as he tried, couldn't get those planes, you know, as much as he tried. But Reg, he's a must, you've got to go and see. Ernie Bond, I should see it about the what happened on the first operation, you know, when he went in the bag. Jim Almond's a must.
Jim came back, did he, afterwards?
Jimmy Brough. There's a man that put down Jimmy Brough. I've got his address.
It's on your list, Ben, isn't it?
Poor old Jimmy's in a bit of a state. No. Jimmy Brough. Now, these are the original SAS group. Sterling, Pat Riney, Johnny Cooper, he's in Portugal. Johnny? Get hold of Johnny.
Ah. In one of the books I read, was it...
That was Reg Steakins's mate, Johnny Cooper.
Yeah, they talked about Steakins and Cooper.
That's it, that's Johnny.
Right.
Jim Owens.
Mm-hmm.
You've got his address?
I have.
And his phone number. Ernie Bond.
Mm-hmm.
There's his phone number. 856-1950.
Right.
Poor old Bob, he's dead. Wacker Evans, he was taken on the first parachute operation. John Byrne, that is not Jock. John Byrne, that's the man who's written the book. Reg Steakins, you've got his address, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Tubby, he was taken on the first operation. There's Dave. 07 452176.
Right.
He died, Charles Bonington. Now that was the father of the boy that climbed Everest.
Chris Bonington's father.
Yeah. That was his dad. Now he was taken on the first op in the desert.
Really?
Yeah. Charles. Myself. He died. Jimmy Brough. There's Jimmy Brough's address. Thirteen Park Road. Oh no, he changed his address, didn't he? No.
He moved, didn't he?
He's moved. Sorry, Gordon, he's moved.
I can get that from
you. Yeah, you'll get it from the association. Now, this was a thing I did of all the. This was only scrap. There's all the originals.
Mm-hmm.
That had come to my brain, you know. Chuck Lewis, killed in the desert, McGonagall. That was Paddy Main's friend. Lieutenant McGonagall, he was another great man. He was killed on the first stop. Wolverton Duffy, first two killed on the jumping. Kaufman, he was killed. Lofty Baker, he was executed in France. Lofty. He's dead at a place called, his grave's dead at a place called Rom.
Was that the young one, Ben?
A nice chap. He was Grenadier. He was my mate when I first joined the army. He was only 16 when he joined the army. Yeah, that's...
When Jock Lewis was killed, and in general, what was the reaction to somebody getting killed, like Jock Lewis getting killed?
Oh, fantastic, because we were only small numbers then, you see, Gordon. We were only... As I say, we were down to 22, you know, and when you lost Jock and you knew you lost such an officer, it was terrible, terrible track. And according to Bob Lilly, who's dead now, Bob said he only had a little tiny thing in him, and he just didn't understand, you know, why he died. A little bullet hole or something. I forget what Bob said, but Bob couldn't. I think Bob was so overtaken he couldn't get over that this man had been killed. You know, it was a hell of a thing, because he's such a wonderful man. And on the first operation, going back to that, when we got to Bagoosh, I told you we went to Bagoosh, and they gave us this wonderful meal, and then we're all sitting in tents about the. And young Phillips went out and came back with a bottle of whiskey that he'd stolen from the officer's mess. There's no drink around our line. And we all drank this, and it was found out the next morning. Jock Lewis got us all on parade, and he said, always remember what he did say. He said, you're either habitual criminals or congenial idiots. he said, and if you don't prove yourselves on this first operation, your feet won't touch, you'll be out. That was Jock, you see.
Fantastic.
And when he marched, he used to transfer pebbles, 10 pebbles, transfer a pebble from that pocket to that pocket, so many paces, and he would know exactly where you were on that map. I've never seen navigation like it, you know. Everything Jock did was perfection. Absolute perfection. And of course, the one it hit most was David Stirling.
I was going to come around to that.
Because he thought that, I mean, there's only one man to David, and that is Jock Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, you speak to him on Jock Lewis. And David's been trying to get out into the books and everything, which he hasn't succeeded in.
Right.
He's trying to push forward what a man Jock Lewis was. If you speak to him, you'll find that out.
I think that's one of the reasons he's doing this programme.
Yeah, because Jock was the greatest man who ever lived to David. Yeah.
What was that?
And
then?
He's never. Well, because he was such an efficient man.
Efficient. Yeah, well, he was. The reason, isn't it?
You see, nobody. You couldn't get at Jock. You couldn't get near him. There was no compassion with Jock. And yet, you see now on this one instance, on this thing at Aguilia, where we found no aircraft and we did the Merza Breeder, and we'd marched for miles, and how the hell we ever got back to a rendezvous, I don't know. It was only through good navigation on Jock Lewis. And we pulled up, Dave was there, Dave Kershaw, and we stopped about 7 o'clock in the morning, and we'd all drunk our water, we were all gasping. And we had very little water, and someone said, oh, no water. And Jock Lewis took his bottle off. This is a man he was. And he passed it down to someone, and he said, have a sip. They had a sip, and he said, pass it round. And they passed the bottle round. And he said, you've got no worries. In 20 minutes, we'll be back at the rendezvous. And we were. He hadn't hardly touched his water. He was
a strong man.
He was a man
that
you only get one in
yeah,
in millions and millions. And you couldn't sit down with Jock and talk. You know what I mean, Gordon? Mm. You couldn't. You just respected him as the number one, and you knew that if you were with him, the same as you were with David Stirling and Paddy Main. Oh, mate, with Paddy Main had the same effect on me. Follow
I know
Paddy.
Bob thinks that way.
I didn't care tuppence. Yeah, he used to get lost. He couldn't navigate, Paddy. He used to get lost. Then give you the compass and say, now, you've done it again. You've lost this. To say, you old bastard. You But you've got faith in these people. Yeah.
So
you
someone, when
you
someone like that goes, it feels like the bottom of the world.
So when he went, you know, the man who should have been the last to go.
How
really?
What was that? How did that happen, Ben? Enemy action?
Strafing.
Oh, Strafing. Yeah.
How were they caught out in the open? I mean,
out in the open. I don't, because I wasn't on it. Bob was with him on Bob Lenny, but he's dead. I don't know who else was on that. Where did Jim? Jim Almers may have been on that one. If you ask him on that, Jim might have been. But he was a fantastic man. I mean, as I say, inventing that form, but he was training all day and working like mad all day, and then. every spare minute he was experimenting.
Actually, he thought he was indestructible, yeah. Really.
Yeah, this is it. This you build it in your brain that he was the last one that should go, you know. Yeah.
That's why it comes as a bit of shock.
Of course.
What sort of shock was it when Sterling was captured?
Oh, that was another shock. We couldn't believe it, you know. Couldn't believe it, because that was linking up with the First Army. Now, Reg was with him on that, Reg Seagin. And Johnny Cooper was in on that. That was another, you know, it was a bombshell. And like I say, then we all started wondering what the heck was going to happen, you know, with David Sterling out of it.
Right.
And Paddy was waiting a charge for something, the ADPM, the Colonel.
Whose colonel was that? He
was in charge of military police.
Oh.
And Paddy had belted him. And so he was in arrest. And so we were all pushed off to Palestine and called the SRS. And some Major Pooch was in charge. And we were all absolutely brained off to hell, you know.
Mm.
And then it was found out that the only one who could command the regiment was Paddy. So they let everything drop and Paddy came back as colonel.
What rank had he been up to then?
Major.
Major.
Yeah.
What were you doing when you were on a different operation or waiting for something when David was captured with him?
Oh, I was there. I was with Paddy somewhere. Well, it was awful. I was up on... Where the heck was I? We got back to base and heard that he'd gone in the bag. We're up in A Squadron. Yeah, because Paddy Main took A Squadron to the Sandsea and made a base there.
Mm-hmm.
And different operations were going on from there, you know.
At that stage, I mean, just going through the organisation of it, after the early days, after our detachment, it then became...
First SAS.
First SAS.
Yeah.
And that, and how was that constituted? Was that divided into squadrons and troops or what?
Our detachment right up until... Our detachment up until the desert, up until David Sterling went in the bag. First SAS, then we had... No, we went to squadrons. A Squadron, then Major Oldfield, the man who's the big shot at... Frank Knight and Rutley's,
mm-hmm.
you know, Oldfield, mm-hmm. millionaire. He was the major of B Squadron. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He commanded B Squadron. So we had A and B in the desert, and then, of course, what's his name went in the bag, and we came right down to SRS, Special Raiding Squadron. So.
When you say you were all packed off to Palestine, what exactly happened? You just got back, and then it was the next day you were gone, or what?
I went back and they went off to a rest period to the ski school in Syria, the Cedars,
uh-huh.
and sort of a holiday, you know, and then to Palestine and started training as SRS in Palestine.
But before that, before Paddy went back, you didn't know what was going to happen?
We were wandering around, didn't know what was going on, you know. Of course, when he came back, there was cheers, went up all over the place. Because this man, Pooch, was going to revolutionise us and, you know, and all sorts of things. And thank God Paddy came back.
What happened to 2SAS when SRS was formed? Or was that incorporated into 2SAS?
They're still in Italy. They operated in Italy quite a long time after
right.
that. Yeah, before they came back. Yeah, they stayed on.
So 1SAS became SRS.
Yeah.
And 2SAS?
Remained 2nd SAS.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where they began their, some of their Italian...
That's where they were doing the Italian things, yeah. Right. So, now Dave can put you right on that. Dave Kershaw put you right on that because... Dave went the 2nd to train them. Then Dave came back to the 1st when we came home. So he left the 2nd and came back to the 1st to Scotland.
Yeah.
And that's where Dave got into trouble with the truck
right.
and left us and went to the Paris. So Dave can put you in a picture of what happened, what was going on in the second, right? You know?
Right. How did things differ when you were doing SRS? Does that make any difference, or?
Well, not really. We didn't like it, you know, Gordon. We didn't like the new name, and all we were worried about was that we were going to get Paddy back, you know, Paddy Main. Because we didn't want to be under someone we didn't know.
Right.
If we were going to be in a unit, we wanted to be under someone that had been with us, you know.
Right.